We're going into this new series called Experiencing God. And the good news is this. I don't think, when I was reading it, it didn't feel like it was catered just for adults. Okay, I think it's for everyone. And I haven't even finished the book yet. So I'm just doing the intro in chapter one. We're going to go through, it's this book right here. You see that cool, like, Haddison was looking at this. She saw my PowerPoint slide. She says, oh, I know where that you got that from. And she found the book because she really liked this flame of fire with, like, you know, the design is really cool. And where do you think, when you look at this flame, what does it make you think of?
The burning bush.
That's right. So that's where, if you look at the title and look at the picture, it's supposed to bring you to that story, the burning bush, where Moses experienced God in a very, very unnatural way, very miraculous way. And that's what the book is telling you about, talking to you about. And the author is Henry Blackaby. He's an old guy. He's no longer living. He's gone to be with the Lord. But he wrote this book back in 1990. That's when Pastor Alex and I were still in high school. We didn't hear about it. But then I saw, when we were in college, one of our roommates had this book laying around. I never read it. He was reading it. But back then, the cover was like this old guy. I remember that old guy. Because you'll see it, and I'll show you in the video.
It makes weird noises.
Yeah, I make weird noises, and it was supposed to be Moses. But I'm like, a lot of people were reading it, but I didn't read it. I just didn't have time. And this is the first time I picked it up. But this is a very well known book. It's the worksheets and the workbooks been taught in many, many churches. So I think we're in good hands with this author. He was a small town pastor in Canada. He lived an ordinary life, in his own words. And when he wrote this book, he basically said, this is my life's message, in his own words. Experiencing God is his own life message before God. He just wrote it, and it just blew up. And everybody, it went viral, right? Even though there's no social media at that time, it just went viral. Everybody wanted to read this book. Everyone wanted to bring this into their churches and teach it. And then he had his fame for about 20 years. And then, because of his health reasons, he was getting older, he went back into his ordinary life, which he's very comfortable with. So he was just in his own eyes, a very ordinary person who just wanted to express his life message. Okay? And that's the author that, and he put his life message into a little diagram. Like, he calls it the seven realities. Right? Very easy, right? He says the whole point that in his life is what God is wanting to do is God's work is trying to get to help you to obey and experience him. 1-7. But you don't just go there. You have to go through these steps to get to 7. Okay. Number 2 is relationship. How many of you guys have a relationship with Jesus, with God? All of us, right? So we're doing pretty good, okay? 1-1 right now. That's the first thing that we need to have, is to have a relationship with Jesus. Okay? And then, it's really strange, but we'll learn more. Then there's an invitation after the relationship. Why do you think that is? I thought invitation would be here, right? But the invitation is after. So after you have a relationship with Jesus, he invites you into something. What do you think that invitation is? There's no right answer. He invites you into his kingdom, his world.
He invites his work, maybe.
His work, his love. You can name it. He invites you into his healing, his miracles, his joy, happiness, right? He invites you into his plan. So many things. It could be so many things. And that's the exciting part, right? So he invites you into it, and you're like, should I go? Should I go along? Because he's inviting you into something. And then on your part, sometimes we struggle. Do I want to go to this party? Why do I not? Right? You get invitations to your friend's party, right? And every time someone invites you, the first you think about, do I want to go or not? It's different reasons. This kind of boring party, but this is going to be an exciting party. Do I want to engage? Do I not? Do I just want to stay home? I can't. I'm too busy. Can't go. All these things go into your mind whenever there's an invitation. And that's the same thing with God, right? When he invites us.
I think it's interesting that the invitation comes after you start a relationship, right? I think that's really interesting. And
it's very interesting.
And that even like, you know, Teacher Frank was saying, right, you have this, if you think about any friendship that you have, it always goes deeper by some type of invitation. And you're either consciously or unconsciously saying yes or no, right? In even any given friendship. You know, Frank and I are very close, you know, for, I don't know, like close to 40 years of a friendship. And I think there's always an ongoing invitation. I just asked him, hey, we should get together this week. He's either going to say yes or no, right? Hey, and then when we talk, when we're having a cup of coffee or whatever it is, there's always going to be an invitation to go deeper in knowing each other. And it's either accepted or not. And with some people, you make an invitation or someone makes an invitation to you, and you kind of consciously or unconsciously like get closer or go farther, right? It's kind of interesting.
Yeah. And even in conversations, we know when there's an invitation, like, how was your day? Mm-hmm. Even that, you can either say, oh, good. And that's fine. Mm-hmm. Or you can say, good. Here's why. Here's what happened. Here's what I'm feeling. It was really bad 2 days ago because something happened. You see, that answer is very different than just good, mm-hmm. right? You're stepping into the invitation. You're getting deeper already. But you could just say good, which is fine. And then there's always a, what do you call it? A wall, right? Mm-hmm. There's always a wall. Even not a mean wall. It's just natural. We're human beings. Like, I don't want to engage right now. I say deal with God. God knows. He doesn't break down your wall. He just, okay, not today, huh? Mm-hmm. Not today, huh, Francisco? Yeah, right? We're using Spanish names. Mm-hmm. I said, not today, God. Okay. And God says, I'm inviting you into more if you want to. You want to talk about it.
And I think in the same way with personal relationships, I think that some of it's unconscious, right? When you're saying no to God, you're not always consciously like, I'm intentionally saying no. It's maybe you're lazy, maybe you're tired, maybe you're distracted, maybe the enemy's putting things in front of you, and unconsciously God's inviting you to experience like all these like you said, I guess it could be anything. Hey, I'm inviting you to have joy with me. And then you're like, no, I'd rather, I'm just not going to do that right now. I'm going to busy myself with something else or just stare at the wall or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's really interesting.
Yeah. And this already, I mean, we hadn't gotten into it. This is already a relationship right here, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just about God reading the Bible and doing devotions.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds so stale, right? And then it gets more interesting. That's where the fire is, right? That's where this whole, the picture on this book, then God speaks. That's even more than the invitation. He directly intervenes into your life and he speaks to you. Has that ever happened? Will it ever happen? How does that happen?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know when it happens? We're not going to get into it right now. We will, because that's a lot. That's a loaded. That's why there's an extra stick man. And then fire drawing there, right? That's the height of this, the climax of the story, that God speaks. And when he speaks, it'll never be the same. Moses was never the same after that. And then you go into this crisis of your faith. I mean, I can talk about that right now. It's pretty heavy. You do go into a crisis. Moses went to a crisis. Once God spoke, like, I can't do it. He runs away. He runs and runs. And I think he was, even as he led the Israelites, remember, from Egypt into the desert, he's still in a crisis. Like, I can't do this. Too heavy. Crisis. Then you adjust, right? That who knows how many years this is, but it's deep relationship, deep. This is good, but this is deep. And then you can.
What do you mean by adjust, though? I haven't read that part yet.
I haven't read that part yet. That's why we're going to go into it. I have an idea.
Yeah, I have an idea.
I have an idea of what you mean by adjust.
What's your idea?
That's a good question. The way I think adjusting is that no longer am I looking at the do's and don'ts of the faith. That's one adjustment. And also, I realize that you stop, you surrender more, you stop fighting. You stop, because fighting, a lot of people think that, oh, I don't believe God, I hate God, and I stop fighting, and finally I give up and I listen to God. No, this is called adjusting as a believer. You believe God, you love God. But you're fighting something. You're trying to hold up something of yourself, right? So adjusting is continuing surrender, continuing. And then it's actually a relief when that happens. One, I was watching this show by the actor on The Chosen. You guys seen The Chosen?
Mm-hmm.
You've seen The Chosen. Jonathan Rumi is the actor of Jesus. He plays Jesus, right? And then in that show, anyways, he's interviewing a lot of people. And one of the person he interviews is a physicist, well-known physicist. And he says that at his old age, because he believes science all his life, at his old age, he realized that God exists and he wants a relationship with God. And he says, what he adjusted, what he changed the most was that he surrendered. And he was fearful of it. But once he did that, he found freedom and he found it was a relief. Because he said, in his own words, he wasn't fighting anymore. He wasn't fighting against himself anymore. Oh, that's interesting, right? So that's adjustment, short of it. I'm sure there's a lot more to that adjustment. That's one of them. Okay. All right. So this is what you can look forward to.
And then what do you get to after you adjust?
You get to obey and experience. Because maybe you're not obeying. Maybe it's hard to obey, right? You kind of have to go through this process, right? And I want to reiterate that this book is anything but rules and regulation.
Mm-hmm.
Because rules do not bring you closer to God.
Mm.
It just doesn't. You can try it, but it just won't. So obedience, even though it sounds like, but obedience is turning to God, right? Turning to God. And then you get to experience an ongoing experience. And that's what the author is trying to get to, is experiencing God continuously. Any other questions? Exciting. I haven't finished the book. This is usually my books are really, if I read it, you know, I read it, but I haven't made marks in it. I read the front, some marks in the front. So I'm reading this. So I want to play this. This is Henry Blackaby. Oh, Bill's. Play.
You do the share screen with like optimized video. Stuck.
Oh, here it is. I know, this is like back in the 90s, right? There's that guy.
Oh, yeah.
That's Moses.
Yeah, that was a picture that was on that cover.
So intense, right?
Richard Buck. And he's my oldest son. He's my oldest brother. We're glad that each of you could be a part of this study of experiencing God.
Could I say to you, without a question, it is impossible when God encounters you, for you to stay where you are and go with God at the same time. You're going to have to leave something. There's going to have to be some major adjustments. And many don't go with him because they don't want to get out of the comfort zone of where they are.
God is at work all around where you are, in your family, in your workplace, in your neighborhood. He is at work. What we need to pray is, oh God, would you open my eyes to see what you're doing. And when I see, God, help me to have the courage to join you and to be a part of the great work that you're doing.
Experiencing God is simply a tool. The one who will change you is God himself.
Mm-hmm.
Do you sense that you have any need of some help into that life-transforming encounter with God? Experiencing God is a tool. Experiencing God doesn't change you. The God that you come to know because we've helped you to know how to know him. Now he will change you.
Yes.
You should listen to that in like.
I know.
Like a
surround
speaker.
System.
Yeah.
I'm scared, man. Okay. So yeah, that's Henry Blackaby and Richard Blackaby, his son. Who's this ministry is still thriving, and Richard Blackaby is the son is I guess he's the CEO of the ministry right now. Okay. So in the book, he has a warning. So like in the very beginning, he has a warning. And his warning is this. Can somebody read that? We'll start with Clara.
Warning, God does not focus on giving people heartwarming devotional thoughts. He intends to save and radically transform lives. He does so all the time.
Oh, man. I love heartwarming stuff. When I read that, I was like, oh, bummer. I love a little, you know, like just coffee and then reading a devotional, reading some word and have a journal. I love heartwarming stuff. I don't think there's absence of heartwarming things, right? It's just that God's not focused on it. It's nice. We all want heartwarming things, but he's focused on transforming us and changing us and saving us. So there's still heartwarming things, but as you can tell, he's setting the tone of this book, right? Okay. In church, but not in Christ. How is that possible? Wow, that was a powerful, I saw that and I was like, wow, that's a powerful title. You're in church, but not in Christ. That is not a good place to be. In church, but not in Christ. And how do we know when we're in church, but not in Christ? So he addresses the problems. Okay? And he lists these four things, and maybe we can just read it. We'll go a little slower. Abby, can you read number one?
Many Christians do not know how to relate to God in a personal manner.
Mabel?
No encounters with God.
Okay. Alex?
No anticipation of God speaking to them through scripture.
From sterile experience with God and his word.
Okay. Do you think this is true? You do? Wow, a lot of nodding head. Clara?
Oh no, yeah.
Yes? No, it's okay. You don't have to agree, but why is this true? Why do you think that's true? Which one? Number one through four, do you think is true? When you went like this, which one were you referring to? All four, or is there a specific statement that you think, yeah, that's true?
I think one.
You think one? They don't know how to relate to God, huh?
Yeah. I guess kind of four to the similar, because they can come to church and read the Bible and know like verses and stuff to respond to questions that they get asked about the Bible and stuff. But when it comes to actually having a relationship with them, it's outside of church, it's not that deep.
It's not that deep. No, huh? And you notice that, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you notice that?
When I'm at home and stuff and like I see the Bible and like mostly I'm doing my devotions and everything every day, but sometimes it just gets hard to keep up with it and stuff. So that's how I can see I'm not keeping like a sterile experience with God.
I see. Yeah, thank you for sharing. Yeah, like what you said, that sometimes you're not feeling it, right? Yeah, you're not feeling it. So it's that you feel like that's a sterile relationship, right? There's nothing going on, no activity. You're like, yeah, God, I believe you. Bible, yes, scripture, very important.
Yes.
That's it. It's just like this, right? Yeah, just like this.
I think it's also number four.
Mm.
I feel like it's like your relationship can be like so like dry and so like it's like staying to like what, like going back to like when your friend is asking like, oh, how's your day, you can also have to like ask them too, you know. You have to like want to have a relationship with God, and there it could also be like hard. I feel like that's just something I struggle with. Like my relationship with him can be like so like bland sometimes. Like, oh, like Bible verse, like, you know, like devotions, like worship. Like you could sing like lyrics without actually putting your heart into it, and it, mm-hmm. then it doesn't mean anything. So.
Oh, thank you for sharing. That's a lot of deep understanding of what's going on. Yeah, I'm reading God's word, which is most important. I mean, I'm worshiped to like Maverick City. That's the best stuff, right? And still be bland. Wow, yeah, that's so. There's more.
Well, I think that's what you're saying, right? It's more than just the doing the right thing and not doing the wrong thing. And I think it's comfortable for you, like for the young, you know, the younger ones, because, you know, you're even beginning to experience personal relationships deeper. Right at your age, it's move away from, you know, oh, we're just running around on the playground, to like, who's to me, you know, like who knows me, and who do I know? You're just beginning to those relationships at like, you know, 7th, 8th, 9th grade. You know, you're just to realize, oh, I'm, you know, close to this person. These are the reasons why I don't know how to form relationships. And I think that's an important part, because the relationship, the closeness with God can help you begin relating to others. But it's all a very pivotal time in the church where you can, like, either your faith can begin to grow, or just stays at a, I read the Bible, I come to church on Sundays, it just stays sterile, right? Bland, say, right?
Mm.
And I see you guys are time to go through this. There's adults in our church, you know, in this, and they've been in this for 50 years, 40 years, 30 years. No, I'm serious, right?
I don't know.
I think there are.
Yes, I know. And I talk about this all the time. It's hard to measure someone's, whether they're in Christ, in church, but not in Christ, mm-hmm. right? I try to not, but you know, what I do know is that when I, my personal experience, there are many times, many seasons where I was in church, but not in Christ. I was doing, I was underlining my Bible. I studied the Bible more than my peers. I was not in Christ. Doing the right thing. I was eating the, you know, when we were talking about, you know, hanging around friends, right? I have two. Well, I shouldn't say two friends. I have relationships where we all do the right thing. We, you know, when I treat them to dinner, usually in a business setting, I want to make sure I find the best food and best restaurant, right? So that everything is right. And we have a good conversation, but actually I'm a little bit worried about like what they're gonna think of me, because I'm trying to do the right thing. But then when I eat with Pastor Alex, I really don't care.
Yeah, it's true.
I care, I don't care. If he likes the steak, great. If he doesn't, too bad. I like it, right? And I know he's, yeah, that's not a good steak, because he's a steak guy. I'm not. But we're comfortable enough to know, like, it's not going to break or make or break the relationship because of the stake. Maybe for him. I don't know. I don't think so.
Yes.
But, you know, you're beginning to figure that out within your relationships. In a different way. Maybe not in a restaurant. But in other ways. Right? But that's kind of the thing with God, too. Doing all the right thing. But you're kind of like, there's a distance there. Or like, God, I don't want to read the Bible today. God's like, I'm still here. Why not? You want to talk about it? Yeah, I want to talk about it. And it's why. It's so dry. You're not showing me anything. I read it every day. I look into the Greek. I'm looking there. But you're not speaking to me. And then God goes, well, why don't you think I'm speaking to you? And by the way, he's speaking to me. Right? Interesting, huh? So that's a little snippet of what's going on right here. In church, but not in Christ. In church, but not in Christ. And yes, I've gone through that. And I suspect a lot of people go through this kind of season. Any questions? Any input? No? So he says, we can't be in this, of course, because that was
John 10:10. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly.
Life and life abundantly. It's not talking about things, right? The life in this is the Zoe life. You guys heard of the Zoe life? In Greek, I'll just use two. There's three. There's bios in the Greek word, which is the actual, your biology, right? Your life that keeps you alive, your corpse. And then there's the psyche, which is your life, your emotions, your intellect, the feelings, right? That kind of life. You need that. And then there's the Zoe life that John is talking about, which is the entire being, your life with God, the spiritual life, your eternal life. That's the life that God wants us to have, right? He says, I don't want you guys to stay here, right? Jesus says, I came so that you have the full life, not just breathing and feeling and listening to music and having a good time, warm feelings, which is great. I love warm feelings, but I want you to have the eternal life that has power, has meaning, has purpose, and depth. Right? So experiencing God. Right? And that's all we want. We all want this. Sometimes we don't have it. Sometimes we don't have it. How do we get it? How do we get it back? Looking to know God better, right? So I listed seven. Looking to know God better. And I was wondering if we can just break up into small groups in 5 minutes. Out of all this, all seven of these, which one are you pursuing or you're wanting to experience if you had to pick? Maybe all seven, but which one are you right now, present moment? What do you want? What do you want through this course, through this time as you're, you know, we don't want to waste some time on Sunday mornings either. What do you want? Can we just break up into groups of twos? Can you just share with each other which one and why? What are you most interested in out of these seven and why? Okay, quick 5 minutes.
Okay, I'll do a breakout room here.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
Perfect, buddy.
So, me too, right?
They like go with Mabel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can go, Mabel. Yeah, sure. You too, and you too.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
yeah, thanks. All right, go ahead and just talk about what do you want most? What are you most interested in and why?
Oh, I think I'm going
to come back.
Okay, I'm putting you guys into one room.
I can't read it right now. Because, like, I think.
Yeah, they don't
God,
join the room.
Okay.
God is something all the way activity and.
Alex, do you have any questions? No?
As in, like.
Yeah, you're just kind of thinking about it.
Oh, yeah, let me move this.
Yeah, move that so
that's one expectation. They're looking at the same person. Okay. But she's there and being part of it.
Oh, this was in chapter one. This is in chapter one, or no?
And I
was
on the last one.
That's good. Probably do a little bit of intro again next week.
But he's always
this is good.
He's everywhere because
I've heard this
kind of like
before.
What my mom is
thinking you could tell Peter that too. Yeah, this is good. Share this Google Slide. I was going to see if you wanted to do Google Slides or the Google website.
Probably easier for presentation.
Yeah, share this with me. Later. I like that. It's like, I'll kind of do that.
That's normal, you know, it's like you're so comfortable with you are, you're like, oh, like, I have, like, a family, like a family, you know,
or,
like, being able to, like, new man, but it's, like, better, you know, it's, like, better, like,
yes. Did you guys share already?
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. We're here. Okay. Okay, folks.
I'm going to close them.
I'm glad you guys are sharing with each other. I don't want to cut you off, but I'm so glad that, you know, it's a dialogue. Are you guys willing to share with me or with us, like, what you guys pick?
Yeah.
Okay. What's yours?
I chose two. Yeah,
two.
God is speaking to you.
Oh,
because,
why?
I mean, it's not necessarily just like hearing him speaking to you. I mean,
mm-hmm.
that you can hear him speaking to you too, but it's also like seeing him.
Oh.
Is like also seeing him speak to you. and like the things he does in your life to reveal himself to you. And the thing, and like it kind of ties into number three as well.
Uh-huh.
But I've seen him work in my life, so that's how I know he's speaking to me, and I just want to continue seeing him in my life as well.
Wow. You know, when you say that, by the way, mine's number two as well. So that already puts us on the right team.
You're right.
But, you know, you added hearing, you said seeing, right? And that's a big word, because seeing God, seeing what he has revealed to you, it's huge, right? It changes your life. And you feel him. You hear him, you see him. It's a full-on experience. If we have more time, I'd love to hear how God has revealed himself to you, because it must be very personal and deep, right, Israel? Thank you for sharing that. So good. Hearing and seeing. Anyone else?
I said three.
Three, okay.
I was deciding between two and three, but
okay.
For me, it would be, I was telling Abby in the small group, it was like, that you can have someone being in your life, but like, that's it. They'll spectate. They'll just look at your life and not do anything.
Okay.
But then there's the difference between being in life and doing, and being a part of that person's life, mm-hmm. like intervening with them and helping them.
Yeah.
And because a lot of the time, sometimes I'll be like, If I have an existential crisis, I'll be like, okay, why isn't God here with me? Maybe,
yeah.
And I'll think maybe he's dealing with someone else who has a bigger problem.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I'll be like, I'll wait for him.
Why are you so patient? That is awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah, I always thought maybe he's dealing with someone else.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll be like, but he's always... I have, like, sometimes I struggle with remembering that he's always there.
Mm.
Like, always. Mm. And he never really left. So.
Mm.
He's always there.
Yeah, he's always there.
Wow.
Yeah, he's not dealing with Alejandro's life. And say, hey, hold on. Wait. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good.
Mm.
Thank you for sharing that. He's always unmistakably there, no matter what. In your crisis.
Any crisis, not just existential.
Well, that's a big crisis. We haven't talked about that.
Exactly.
Yeah, those two. We're on the same team too.
No, okay. Wow.
We have those crises too.
I'm great.
Yeah. Anyone else?
One.
Okay.
Sometimes it feels like the world's against you, and it's great to know that God is with you and he loves you.
Mm. Yeah.
Infinite love, right? The love that never ceases, right? Well, it must be a lot when you feel like the world's against you. Right? Like,
yeah.
Come on, I'm just a little guy. The world's against me.
Yeah.
I feel that. Mm. Yeah, when the world's against you.
Or just feels
like you can't conquer it.
Yeah. It's like you can't win, right?
You can't win.
Yeah.
But then having God's love, what does that do?
Like, it makes you hopeful and happy.
Yeah. Makes you like, okay, it's not the end.
Mm-hmm.
It's not over yet.
Yeah.
More.
Something big is on my side.
Something big is on my side.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like that. We're going to take notes of that. Something on my side.
Yeah.
Bigger.
Yeah.
Right, than the world. Right. The
yeah.
world's pretty big and it seems daunting. It's like it's going to take over.
Mm.
But then God's love comes in and says, I'm with you.
Mm.
I'm with you forever. Always with you.
Mm.
And I love you. Not only I'm with you, I love you.
Mm.
Right? Oh, man. Then it gives you the little bit of that heartwarming, fuzzy feeling,
yeah.
right? You need that. You need that.
Gives you confidence.
Okay. Anyone else?
Is it number five? I feel like I've been hearing it a lot of like saying like, what that video was saying, like,
mm-hmm.
step out of your comfort zone, you
yeah.
know?
Okay.
And I've heard it in another video, too, and there was this video, it was talking about, it was like the land of Canaan or
something.
Mm-hmm. About how, like, I forgot if it was, like, Moses or something, or I don't know. But it was, like, he was so, like, his life was so, like, good, and he, like, had, like, this, like, he was stuck in his ways, you know, and like, but like stepping out and like, I don't know, like chasing after him and like, you could be so like set in your life. Like for me, it could be like, everything's good. And like, I'm going to church and I'm like reading the Bible, you know, but like being able to like, I don't know, like, just like step out and like chase after him, like you have to be like, okay, I'm willing to like leave this place that I'm at to go to like a better place, to go to like a place where like, I don't know, it's like
not this place.
Yeah. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah,
it does
make sense. When you were sharing that, Abby, it reminded me of another book, a picture. It was and the title of the book is, in order to walk on water, you have to step out of the boat.
Ooh.
I want to step out on that boat. Let's see. I like this boat. It's a yacht, right? Some of us may have yachts that we're on. Like, yachts are better than boats, right? But this is in order to walk on water, Jesus did and Peter did, step out of the boat into something new, something you can't describe it because you don't know. And that's what's so exciting about it. I like that. We're on the same team, too. Yeah, we're all on the same team. Yeah, in different ways, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Those are all on.
Something different. Not the same old thing. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Something new, something adventurous, exciting in God, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because something just like, not this, something else. God, show me.
There's a song that we sing in truth and worship when we were still younger. It was like,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to be the same. I don't want to play the same.
Yes.
I don't want to play the same.
I don't want to play the same old games.
No, we're
yeah.
not we.
Yeah.
I don't want to play the same old games.
Yeah.
Show me a new game, something
right.
new. Yeah. And Jesus says, I came to create something new. Something new. Yes, of course. Yeah, that's exciting. Well, I hope through this series that God speaks to you. Okay, and then you step out.
This is good. I don't want to create a separate class for you guys. Can you guys stay with us?
Yeah.
You know,
that's good.
I think
you guys share some good
I
stuff.
Think we get blessed by hearing you guys share.
Yeah.
That's good.
Something new for us.
I know.
Something new. I want to see the same little old faces, right?
Yeah, don't leave us.
New.
Yeah, don't leave us. Please.
Good. All right. It's good. Now we do have homework here.
Oh no.
But that's just so that keeps us engaged. And then that when you come back next week, we won't be like, wait, what do we talk about?
Mm.
Right? So it breaks the flow. So we're gonna, this is a little something different, right? And in order to know God better from 1 through 7, whatever you pick. Let's go. Oh, it's not working. Oh, there it is. Okay. Here's what something I learned. And this is what the book is teaching, but also something I learned and I put it in. Number one of the hardest work for Christians to do, and they don't want to do, is to look inside. Where are you? That is hard work. The reason why I say that, because we rather not think about it or look at it, especially for the older folks. The older ones have more stuff. Because they're older, they've encountered more stuff. You guys are younger, good. But you guys have stuff too that you're dealing with. Sometimes we don't want to look in, kind of the ugly side of it. But God wants us to, not because he wants to condemn or judge us. He says, I want to heal you from it. For you to experience me, I want to go to that place first. So, and I have to do that for myself. So I'm not teaching you anything that I didn't do myself. And it's very hard. Because when you look inside, I'm like, I don't like that. I just don't want to deal with it. Let's go to the heartwarming devotion in Psalms 123. Right? But God says, he's asking, where are you? Let's start where you are. Where are you? And you don't have to share this. You don't have to share this. This is just some words that helps you. And if your relationship with God is exciting, let it be. That's where it is. But if it's not, don't write it. That's not the point. The point is that, hey, I'm a good
Christian. Don't what it, don't write it.
Don't write it down. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Here's what I want you to do in your you have our phones now, right? Or in a paper.
Mm-hmm.
I brought my notebook. This is my notebook.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I write it. You can't see it. But I write it here. Okay, and I'll tell you what I'm writing. number one, okay, you create in your phone. And you write, where am I? Right? Or in your notebook, I know Mabel, you're a notebook taker. You write down, where am I? And write some words down. It could be more than this.
You
could
if be you guys new, have, yeah. If you guys have something, this is something that we want to talk about for the class, and I think we'll do it next week as well. Create a folder, create something. If you use Apple Notes, if you use Google Keep, create a folder for the notes in this class. So you could create little documents.
Yeah. You guys should be able to do that better than us.
Yeah.
Yeah. For now, just know that wherever you're creating this, and then we'll have a better idea of where to keep this.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, create in your own notes. Say, where am I?
Mm-hmm.
This whole week, where are you? Write these words down. And why are you there? Where are you really? Are you plateaued? Right? Is your relationship with God kind of volatile? Up and down, up and down, up and down? Are you feeling hopeless? And that's okay, because that's where God is going to do some work there. Maybe you're a new Christian. That's good. That's a new relationship. So where am I? Where am I? And then take a picture of these words to help you. You can find your own words, but start writing, where am I? So this is kind of in addition to your journal. If you don't have one, let this be your journal. It's very directive, where am I? Okay. And in another section, this is what I'm going to add. And this is something that you'll never have to report to anybody. It's for yourself, and it helped me out a lot. And I want to share it with you guys. Okay. And another part of your journal, it could be every day or every week. Ask God a question that nobody can answer. And it can't be answered the same day. So it can't be like, what should I eat today, God? Why did God create sin? And then somebody answers it, a Bible teacher answers it. No, not that, not those questions, not data questions. Ask God a question that nobody else can answer. Abby, not even your dad can answer it, okay? Because he can't. He's not God, okay? Only God can answer it. Ask him that question. And it can't be answered in a day or two. And then, when you ask a lot of these questions, you'll look back at the end of the class, at the end of this, you know, few weeks or months, and see if God answers some of them directly to you. Ask some questions that nobody else can answer.
And you want to ask those each day?
That's, yeah, it takes about 10 minutes to really ask a question. I did this for 3 months, and I have all these questions in my notebooks. Right. Yeah, this is very personal question.
Yes. I want to read it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great questions. And God does answer them. I'm telling you, it's not me, it's God, right? He's the one who will answer these questions. Because you're putting these questions down and the serious questions and the good questions, he'll answer them. Good stuff. So put it in your notebook, ask a question every day. If you miss a day, it's okay. Whenever that question comes up, God, why, or what, or how? Ask it. You know, the good thing is, you know for sure only God can answer it, because no one else can. And when he answers it, it's like what, you know, Ezra said, you see him and he reveals something to you, right? I know.
If we get their email addresses, I don't know if you're done.
Let me see.
That'd be okay.
Yes, of course. Let me see.
You guys check email? Mm-hmm. Not you.
Okay. What's the best way to get email?
What's the best way to reach you then? Maybe we could put your dad's email because he's in this class too.
Do you have this app?
Signal? Which one?
Just put it on your homepage, like right here. So when you see like a red, it's on your
Can you get the email?
I want you guys to put your email or Signal and info.
Signal.
I have your guys' Signal touch me.
I'll still put it in my email.
But just put in your email.
Okay.
Just so Frank, teacher Frank, and I have it. Because we'll kick off an intro email this week. We'll include some of the stuff. Is there a reason why you don't want them to share where they're at? Each other?
Not today.
Maybe next week.
So you guys all have this, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is good questions to ask yourself, okay? All right, taking enough of your time. Let's go to God. Father, thank you so much for your infinite love, for your presence in our lives, your attention to us, all these attributes of yourself, you reveal them to us because we're your children. You love us so much, and you want to reveal everything to us because you sent your son to die for us so that we may have an abundant, a life that you know, a life that you've created, a life that is so much more colorful and exciting than what we think we do, or what we know. So we're very excited to experience you more, and thank you for giving us the opportunity and the time and the space to know you more personally, for each of us, including myself and Pastor Alex, who are teaching this course. But young and old, Lord, we want to experience you more, and you have an open invitation to all your children. May your spirit begin to work in our lives this week. May you open our eyes and give us time to ask before you where we are in our hearts, without any shame, without any fear, what we are struggling with and what we need. Because, Lord, your intention is to heal us from it. Your intention is to bring us out of it. Your intention is to draw us closer to you so that we can experience that miraculous hand of yours. We pray for a week of experiences with you, a week full of your words, you speaking to us. Pray for when we go to school, for the work, go back to our families, that we begin to hear you. We begin to hear you in different ways, through your word, through life, through friends, through sermons, through books, whatever it is, Lord, you are everywhere. And you're able to speak to us, and you are pursuing us. We thank you for pursuing us. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.